Thursday, July 19th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. I see that cash corn was $2.98 at the local ethanol plant here in northwest Iowa on Wednesday. They should be able to make profitable ethanol out of that. End users should also be able to make a profit on cheap corn by feeding it or exporting it today. The pork industry has bought into structural change that will not quickly be able to reverse. Would Prestige put its new hog plant on hold? I doubt it. That industry will be looking for some help from Donald Trump, too. The pork industry expanded using a very different view of global export trade than the one that exists today. The European Union is enjoying the expansion of its pork export markets as a result of Trump's trade war. It looks to me that to get a bearish balance sheet for corn, we have to plant so many acres next year and produce so much that it ruins the improving supply-demand balance sheet that is tightening global corn stocks. That's over a year away. Brazil's current corn crop is nothing exceptional, and there will be even more focused on growing soybeans next year. The 40-week cycle low in corn prices should be forming. It extended and deepened on all of the trade issues, but has not taken a direct hit in the trade war yet. It has been collaterally damaged by the disaster in the soybean market. Corn market fundamentals appear bullish. Crop condition ratings may miss by as much this year as last in the opposite direction. The question I have asked recently is who would be selling end users physical cash corn and soybeans right now? Why would anyone sell anything before they know what the government and Sonny Perdue is going to announce on Labor Day to help farmers? I would think no one other than someone desperate, and that the cash trade could come to a near halt. Use is large, and I doubt that end users have needs covered into harvest, so there will have to be something to happen, a basis improvement, to keep the physical pipeline supplied. The soybean crush has been setting records, which means that crushers have drawn down supplies and will soon need to do something to restart cash movement. The last commitment of traders' report showed that the funds had stopped selling soybeans. If funds do not sell, who will? Trump is going to have to do something other than call on the patriotism of farmers to keep them solvent while he pursues his trade war. He promised to have the farmers' backs, so they will be expecting something material will be announced on Labor Day as Perdue promised. Farmers will quickly determine whether that promise was BS or not. The trade war is going to get bigger and last a lot longer before it ends. Both sides are trying to get the other to the negotiating table, but even that is resisted as a concession. The job of the soybean market has been to price in the Chinese tariffs. For the most part, that has been pretty well accomplished. But the problem is whether recovery potential exists. Then again, has the tariff been priced in without Chinese buying at these reduced price levels? That would be the real evidence that the soybean market has the tariff fully priced. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. On the hogs. The futures structure of this market is trying to build in what it sees as a supply catastrophe this fall. There was a $32 difference between the current cash market and where the futures market was discounting the season low. I don't think that there is much left in that for hedgers to protect against. If so, the catastrophe is in the market. Consumers should look forward to some phenomenal prices for pork. The pork cutout posted losses mostly in loins and hams. What would the ham market be without NAFTA? The belly market is now high enough for retailers and slicers who put them in the freezer for a dollar a pound or less to thaw them out at a great profit. Bellies have been the only bullish component of the cutout, and we all know that BLT season ends, and that cash bellies will deflate like a rock in a pond, so there is nothing to float to cutout. It may be hard to tell whether the primary negative is supply or demand. On cattle, so far beef is the meat that has been most able to handle the trade war the best. People with jobs and incomes tend to prefer beef, and the strong U.S. economy jobs growth is helping with domestic beef demand. Beef is more balanced than foreign trade, as we both export and import some. The beef market is not in the crosshairs of the trade war, at least not yet, as NAFTA is still in play. And Japan, which buys our high-quality beef, appears more than willing to make concessions to avoid getting the lashing that China is enduring. Overall, the beef market is threading the needle through the obstacles, finding a pathway forward for demand. It is like an eagle flying in a flock of turkeys called competitive meats, however, but so far so good. Packers have made enough money through this supply ordeal to keep them killing cattle, which has kept this market going better than the trade expected. This is not something where they can stop or celebrate, or the weight of supply would come down on the market quickly. The cattle complex has been working to turn higher from seasonal lows, with feeder cattle leading, Futures have enormously different perspectives for December prices between cattle and hogs. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa, online at comstock.com, or call 712-227-1110.